Fish, so.
Nice. Okay, so and how long have you lived in Italy now?
About 18 months now.
Okay. Is that for like the long run, or are you going to go
No,
back?
probably we'll probably stay maybe another sort of 18 months to 2 years, and then we'll go back to Sydney.
Okay, nice. Quite the adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, thank you, Maria. And then Neil?
Yes. Well, let's see. Yeah, I did my ACMC, I think maybe a bit over a year ago now. I can't recall actually, in Sydney. I missed the last year's last December. I was going to be on an assist team, but I was busy doing other things. But it would have been the year before,
Okay. Yeah.
whatever year that was. I can't recall. My work is a mix of, I suppose, policy making and futures and foresight work. That's a consulting aspect within organisations. And more, I know that I need to bring much more of the coaching aspect into the work that I'm doing. So again, I think it was, I knew I had to get back to ACMC to revisit that, to reconnect with all the things that I had forgotten. And then seek out whatever it is I need to do to be able to bring more of the coaching practice to my day-to-day work. So that's the phase I'm in now, is that development and startup phase, I suppose.
Okay, very good. Thanks for sharing, Neil. And then you, Pascal.
Hi, I think I took my ACMC training about a year and a half ago, and I'm a neurosemantic trainer also, and lead the U.S. Institute of Neurosemantics, and also involved in system dynamics, the martial arts. And I'm primarily a modeler. I retired from Computer Science Corporation about 2 years ago, and I've been pursuing my own independent interests since then.
And you've been on the program for about a year now, huh?
Yeah, so this is my last day.
Yeah. How
It's over a year.
is it?
Over a year. Yeah. This is my last day. I've been open since September of not last year, previous year.
Yeah. So, yes, your last day. Gosh, the time has gone by quickly.
Yes, it was only supposed to be 6 months. It's really gone by quickly. That was the original program length.
Right, exactly. Yep. And then life happened and
Life
a
happened.
baby
Life happened.
happened. Okay, so we'll start off today, like for you, Maria and Neil. Usually what we do is we go over questions and then go in, like pick a topic, and you can email me for next time beforehand if there's like a specific topic or a specific content that you want me to expand on, and then
Okay.
we do that, and then
Okay.
we practice coaching. We don't always do a coaching session. We can sometimes practice like a specific skill, like clarity questions or the strategy process. What we've done in the past is that I've done a demo of doing an introductory session or how to set up like a coaching program. So today what we'll do is we'll start with questions, and then I want to share a little bit about the way that I look at meta coaching, and bring it down to like a simple structure initially. And then what I'd like to do is for is to practice with getting like a the strategy process, because for me that really is at the foundation, and it's just a like a start. So Maybe Maria and Neil, you guys can co-coach, and then hopefully Pascal, if you have a topic, that would be really great to kind of have like a present state and desired state, and then we'll focus on getting the strategy process today. How does that sound?
Gary, no. Well, that sounds good. That's what we have.
Pascal, what did you say?
I said, as I rush to think of a topic.
Okay. Well, and otherwise I'll have a topic, and you can just ask me questions as well. Okay. So that's fine too. Then the all three of you can ask me questions. So before we get started, are there any questions that you have based on the module that you're at right now or anything else?
Well, from my, I'm not really organized yet, Femke, so okay. I'm kind of, yeah, I'll hopefully, yeah, before the next call, I'll start having a look at everything, but I'm kind of just, like, I have not looked at anything.
Okay.
Decided to sign up, so I'm...
That's not a problem. I think what we'll start out with today, I think, is that'll be a good start anyway, to start with the foundation. That'll help you with the modules as well. By the way, Neil, I received your recording of a coaching conversation.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I'll do that this week, and then we can get on a call and go through the feedback and also get into more depth on your KPIs.
Yeah, that'll be great. There's no rush from me over here, so whenever that works for you.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I've just started like in module one.
Yes.
So from last week, well, 2 weeks ago, I still need to, I suppose, refine my outcome and KPI for the program. So I've done some, progress that, and I need to just, you know, refine it so it's something that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so then, Pascal, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. So for you, this is going to be a little bit of a review.
That's fine.
Okay, so the way that I look at meta coaching is that I wanted to, for me, there were so many models and it was very overwhelming, and it took me a long time to see the big picture. And so I think, I've kind of distilled what is really the foundation of meta coaching, and what is the structure of a coaching conversation. And so I've basically broken it up into several parts. And the first part is exploration. Now, I know that when you go through your ACMC training, you think that you have to do everything in 25 minutes. And I get a lot of questions like, how is that even possible to do everything in 25 minutes? Mm-hmm. And that is not the goal. It's not the goal to have gotten the outcome and the KPI and do a change conversation within 25 minutes. Those 25 minutes are really just to get an idea of your skills and to see where you're at, not necessarily to get it all done. So I want to start off with that because I noticed that there's a lot of stress among meta coaches because they put a time limit on themselves. What I was thinking earlier, I've just recently did two coaching sessions with a client on the online meta coach training, and I'm going to send the recording of that or put those recordings online for you to listen to. They're online, but you don't have access to that right now. But I'll give you access to that because that's going to give you an idea of how I go about setting up a program. And so my first hour that I did with him, If you would have scored me on the benchmarking form, I probably wouldn't have scored like really high on everything. And the reason for that is because I did a lot of exploration. And that's what I do a lot in that first session. I just ask a lot of exploration and meta questions to figure out, okay, what is really the leverage point here? And so as a result, within two sessions, and this is someone that it's someone that I've known for quite a few years, he's been living kind of like what he would call a flat line. Like, you know, his state has been not really up or down. And so you could hear that in his voice, quite monotone. He wasn't really doing much in his life. And within two sessions, we made a big change for him. And that doesn't mean that it's automatically like he goes home and, okay, now everything has changed. He still has to work at it. But we got to the core. And for me, a lot of the time that has to do with the fact that I spend a lot of time in the beginning. Similarly, when I did my PCMC level, I think about 40 or 45 minutes of the hour that I spent, I worked on getting the outcome. And then once I got the outcome, the change itself was really easy because like we knew what to do. So those are just a few frames around when you do a coaching session, it really is about showing the skills and not so much about having to do everything in those 25 minutes.
That's very useful, Femke.
Yeah. And so the way that I look at a coaching session essentially is that your client has a present state and he has a desired state. And there's a gap in between that. And that's what you're working with. Every single coaching session, that's the case. And so if we think about it, because in meta coaching, we think systemically, when we have a present state, we have a specific context. And in that context, there's a specific trigger. That's what starts off the state in that context. And so when we talk about context, a lot of the time we ask when, where, and with whom. And so my client might say, well, in a coaching session. And that in itself is still too vague, because I want to know when specifically in this coaching session does this state occur? Because as we know, we go through different states very quickly. I want to know when specifically does that occur, so that at the end is already going to help me test, okay, so now when you are in this specific situation, are you now able to do your desired state? So that in itself builds up towards eventually getting the test, which is the KPI. You want to be able to test that. So where, when, and with whom, and then what is the trigger? What is it is that a picture that you have in your mind? Is it something that someone says? And then if it's something that someone says, is it the content of what they're saying? Is it that specific person? Is it the tonality with which they're saying it? So all of those detailed information about the trigger and the context is one thing that you want to know. Mm-hmm. And then you want to know the response to that. So your client has like an see, hear, feel, like how is he representing that trigger? What is he saying to himself? What is he seeing? Maybe there's a reference experience. And that sets off a layer of beliefs that ultimately result in a specific state. And that's the present state. and that present state stops your client from doing specific behavior. And so now they're doing a behavior that's unwanted, and that state stops them from doing the desired behavior. So that's the structure of the present state. And then the desired state has the same trigger, it has the same context, but it has a different, and it might even have like a, like internally have like a similar representation, but your client might be saying something else to themselves, might be using a different reference experience, and there are different beliefs that put your client into their desired state. So mapping that out, first of all, is the exploration part of it, because then you have a gap. Once you have that gap, then you, if just going back to the well-formed outcome, the first six questions without the why question, which is question two, is the what, the sensory description, where, when, and with whom. And so once you have that for present state and desired state, you're already quite a ways down the funnel. Mm-hmm. And as you are going down that funnel, you get to the question, what do you need to do to get from A to B? Well, a lot of the time, your client is going to answer that question from inside of their present state or from their problematic thinking. Mm-hmm. And so before you get to that question, you'd need to do an analysis. The analysis part is basically, so I have all of the elements. I've got the trigger. I've got the context. I've got the beliefs that are holding a specific state in place. I want to know the state as well. I want to know this, what that state looks like, sounds like, and also for the desired state. And then we're going to do an analysis. So in the present state, is there something that... is there a limiting belief? And in the beliefs that my client has, is there a pattern? So are there any cognitive distortions, any metaprograms that my client is stuck in? It could be a reference experience that my client is using that is just not helpful. It might be that there's not enough clarity on the present state. So that becomes like, first we need to have clarity. More clarity. So there's in those two, like in present and desired state, there's an analysis that we need to do in order to be for your client to be informed enough to be able to say, okay, this is what I need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, Emke, when you're going through these steps, are you with meta coaching where that, you know, make the distinctions around the type of conversation, whether you mentioned clarity, whether it is a clarity conversation or what, is it the seven types of conversations? Is that right? Do you follow that in your mind? Are you aware of the type of conversation during each stage, or is that kind of just in the background?
For me, that is kind of in the background. It helps. A lot of the time, if you... initially, I think it helps and just, how do I say that? So very often what I hear when a coach starts coaching is that the client says, oh, I want clarity on my plan. Mm-hmm. And then the coach will start asking, oh, what is your plan? And start asking questions about the plan rather than asking questions about the clarity. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more important to listen to, like, at what level are we talking and what is the present state? So the present state is not being clear. The desired state is being clear. Mm-hmm. And that can change over time. And then once we get to the analysis part, that's where we can start to kind of check, okay, so do we need to change conversation? And that's where we also start looking at the different kinds of conversations, because it might be that my client needs to experience something, needs, or they might have to be confronted and challenged. So when you do the analysis, that's where you start to look at present state, desired state. Is there enough energy? So enough motivation. And then you start looking at the, first of all, at the patterns and detecting frames that are presented, so that your client basically has an idea of, okay, this is the gap. And then you ask a lot of testing questions. Are you able to do that? Do you need do you need resources in order to be able to do that? Do you need new belief? So based on that, you'll figure out what needs to be done. Then you want to know, do you know how to do that yourself, or do you need help with that? So I don't really focus on what kind of conversation it is. But in the analysis part, I do want to figure out what is it that we need to do. And if my client can do that for themselves, then I don't need to help. So, and then it helps to know, okay, are we just exploring the new frame, or are we also installing it?
One of the, Femke, one of the challenges that I have, which, you know, eventually get to, but one of my desired goals would be you know, even though you were saying, you know, do a lot of exploring, one of my goals would be to get to the, you know, the heart of what's going on faster. And part of the issue that I, the challenges, I guess, that I have with trying to get to, like, more clarity about what, you know, their present and desired state is when you're hearing the whole background story and when someone's very emotional. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with, you know, going through your process and, you know, when someone is quite emotional what informs you whether to interrupt that person if you've pre-framed, you know, you will be interrupting them if, you know.
You don't need a lot of content.
Yeah. So I mean, what gives you permission, I guess, you know, like to interrupt it also, what's the indications that it's actually a good time to interrupt or not, you know, where that the emotion might be leading and uncovering something as opposed to just hearing more content?
I think if you want to know where an emotion is, leading, ask about the emotion. What happens a lot if you want to get more content, if someone gets into a specific state, if you don't mention the emotion and if you get them to stay in that state and start asking questions, that's when you get more content.
Okay. So you're specifically asking them, are you asking them to recognize the emotion they're feeling when they're giving the content?
Yeah, I want them to go beyond that state and to reflect on that state and to tell me about that state, because then I can show empathy just with where they are with that state.
Can you give us an example of some questions that you would ask around, like, if someone's in an emotional state, what are specifically some questions that you would ask them?
So I would first ask them to name the state. How would you call the state that you're in right now? Because it may very well just be sadness about the fact that they've had this for so long. Mm-hmm. Well, then if that's the case, let's say that that's, you know, what it is. And I ask, okay, you know, what is this state? And they tell me, like, it's, you know, I've just been struggling with this for so long. Then I can make a statement of, you know, it sounds like you've really been struggling with this. Yes. So they are heard in that emotion. And then I can, beyond that, I can ask the question, so are you ready for something different? Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever consciously done that in a coaching conversation. I don't know about you, Neil and Pascal, but I've never actually gone meta about the state that someone's been in that I can recall.
Yeah, and I think that's challenging. So so Pascal or Neil, have you done that?
I think at times that I have, although what Marie is talking about, I think, is sort of key to my next step in this program too.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of hearing the background story of the client and, okay, when is a good time to pause? I think that's a key part of my outcome, that's as I'm framing it too.
Right.
And what I picked up from that was really the type of question you ask, can lead to either more content,
mm-hmm.
or as an alternative, to explore the frames or the states about that content. So I think that was really interesting to hear what you said there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And it's hard. This is not an easy thing to do because you have to always think meta as well. And a lot of the time, and it's not really in the feedback form, is what state is your client in right now? Because so often they are doing their problem right in front of you.
Yeah.
And so, hold on, I just have to hand my son over to my husband. He needs a baby. So that's what I notice a lot is that we forget to ask, what state are you in right now?
Mm.
And so while someone might be crying or getting flustered or getting irritated, that is to like the state that they're in, that's what you need to focus on and get them to step back from that and reflect on it.
That's like such a big aha for me. It really is.
Oh, good.
Because I think that's like eventually I'll get there, but I think that is will be a real significant opportunity for growth there for me.
Oh, good. Yes. And it does make a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think so too. I mean, I'm just reflecting then on a recent session that I did have probably went for an hour, but I sort of, it's like the first 45 minutes were really about, here's the background to the story, here's the download.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, the coaching was only really the last 15 minutes. And then I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to do the coaching much quicker than that rather than wait for 45 minutes?
Yeah, if that's a... It would be great, but a lot of the time what I notice is that coaches start to coach way, way too early.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because they don't have the information. And I think also you need to realize with a lot of your clients, I have it pretty easy, I have to admit, with my coaching clients because they are aware of the structure. They know the jargon a lot of the time. But you're working, most of you are working with clients who don't. And so for them to get enough self-reflection to be able to say, this is what's going on, it just takes some time. So yes, it would be great to do it faster, absolutely. But I think in a way, especially if you're working in a coaching program and you're going to do, let's say you're going to do 8 coaching sessions.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make that first hour and spending that time on really exploring, okay, what is at the core of this, is going to make a big difference. So like just recently I was able to go from 8 sessions to 6 sessions for a program, just mm-hmm. simply because I've become more effective and efficient.
Yeah.
But that takes time, I think.
Yeah, now that's really useful. Don't coach too early. No.
Yeah.
clients actually need to be able to see themselves in action sometimes, what's actually going on for them.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Maria.
I was just going to say, Femke, so just to clarify then, so the exploration questions is before the official, I guess, coaching begins. So that's acceptable to spend that time exploring and using the coaching questions, but the actual coaching to the outcome, you're saying, you know, can wait until you've explored enough and asked all the coaching questions in exploration.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, in a way, all of it is coaching. Yeah. But the actual change that you, or the actual conversation to reach the outcome, happens later. And in a way, throughout exploring, things are already changing for your client. But as what you'll notice is in the coaching sessions that I'll share with you that I did, and I think I could have even been more efficient. But this is something that the client has worked with for a very long time, in several different trainings and settings. And once we got to the outcome and he understood, okay, this is the structure, then it's going to be much easier for him to say, okay, what do we need to do? We identified three things. And out of those three things, I asked him, okay, what is the first thing that we need to do? And so we worked on that one thing, and then number two and three reorganized themselves, and so we didn't have to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what happens when you get to that leverage point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Are there any other questions that come to mind, Femke, other than like naming to get that person out of the content, other than naming the state you're in right now? What are some of the other exploratory questions that you will ask?
Like, what is this state about? Like, so what state are you in right now? What is this state about? What thoughts and feelings come up for you that get you into this state? So some meta questions. I want to know, so what is it that you're seeing, hearing, etc.? How does this state relate to the outcome that you want? Because what I want is for my client to go meta to their state. Unless it is the desired state. I obviously want them to experience their desired state. And so what you notice is that we don't go away from the state, we utilize it so that the client doesn't stay in it for a very long time, but we still get the necessary information out of it. So if we think about an emotion, is there because it has information, and the information might just be, hey, I have a mapping that isn't very useful. But sometimes there's just also, so it can be that it has to do with the present state. It can also be that there's like some states that are meta to that your client needs to grieve or accept that this has been going on for a very long time. And then once that might be a topic of a conversation. Or just by making your client aware of it, to grieve or to accept there and then, so that you can move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
So once you've asked that, you might ask, is this something that we need to be talking about?
Is that about like the meta state? Or just generally their current state?
Yeah, just generally, how does this relate to your outcome? And depending on the answer, that might be a topic of the conversation. And you can ask that, is this what we need to be talking about today? Mm-hmm. For you to be able to reach your overall goal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what really comes up for me then is really the role of the meta questions to utilize what's going on. So I think in some of, you know, my ACMC feedback, there could have been things like, you know, the state induction was inducing, you know, a non-resourceful state for the client. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was like I was inducing that and staying within that, which is different from how can I utilize that via the meta question, which is right. like the step back move for the client.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily that you have to get your client away from that state as yeah. fast as possible. You want to get the information, but in order to get the information, your client needs to go slightly meta to it.
Yes.
And so that your client can make a decision if he wants to stay in there or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have the present and desired state and we want the information there. Then we have an analysis of, okay, what is stopping me or what do I need in order to get from A to B? And you help your client become aware of the structure by going to, are there any cognitive distortions? Are there any meta programs operating here? And once you've done that, is there a reference experience that your client is using? Is it maybe just fear that is holding your client back? So, when you take a step back from present state and desired state, doing that analysis, then we can start to kind of hone in on what needs to be done. What do we need to be working on? And that might be several things, so we can list those and then we can ask, okay, what is it that which one do we need to start with first? And then once you've done that, then it's very quite easy to take that down the funnel and lock it down in an outcome and test, like having, you already have the test in a way. So if by the end of this session, you are able to do this or you're able to have this, do we have the outcome? Mm-hmm. So essentially that's the structure that I keep in mind. And then all of the other things that come beyond it are to, you know, like the axis of change or the self-actualization model, they add to this structure. So when we talk about the axis of change, once we've got this structure of present and desired state, we can check, is there enough detail in the steps to make it feasible? Is there a solid enough inner game? Is there also an outer game to make it happen in the real world once your client goes home? Is there enough motivation? Is there enough away from or enough and enough towards so that my client can make a decision based on the analysis that we have done? The self-actualization model, so a lot of the time that how we present that in the MetaCoach training is by presenting the quadrants. But how then does it fit inside a coaching conversation? Mm-hmm. Well, when we take a look at self-actualization, at its core, it is meaning and performance. And so in your present state, your client has meaning and performance. In the desired state, there's meaning and performance. So then you can do, in your analysis part, you can look, in the present state, is there enough performance? Is my client too focused on the meaning, or is my client too focused on performance? So you can use that as an analysis tool to see, does your client need to do more of the opposite? Because a lot of the time with self-actualization, they have a preference for meaning or a preference for performance. And in their solutions, if they have a preference for performance, they're going to come up with more solutions that are performance-oriented. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I had one of the one of the clients that I had on one of the calls, she, every single time that she was being coached, like if it came to that question, what do you need to do? She would come with performance answers. That's not what she needed. She needed the opposite. She needed different understandings, different beliefs in her game. And that would drive different performances.
Yeah.
So it's a great tool for analysis. So knowing where it fits, where a model fits, is going to be very helpful.
Femke, can I ask, about, you mentioned a few times the reference experience.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about that and specifically what you mean?
Absolutely. So if there's a trigger, your client isn't always aware of the reference experience. Back when I did, like in 2008, I think, I ran an APG, and one of the participants did the metastating concepts with me, and what he discovered was that he hated cold calling. So cold calling was the concept, and within three questions, he got to the reference experience of his parents divorcing, and he was only 3 years old, and they were fighting a lot. And because they were fighting, they did not pay attention to him, and he felt like he was left out, and he got to hear no a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took that personally. And so that reference experience, he's using that as a filter to think about cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
And by changing, saying no to that as a reference experience, because he's had many, many more references that he could draw from, that can completely change the system and therefore change the desired, change his state.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of questions, Femke, do you ask to draw that out? To draw out, you know, what is that? Reference experience.
Yeah. So sometimes it comes just by asking meta questions.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also ask, what reference experiences are you using here? What comes up for you? What does that remind you of?
Okay. Yeah.
And this is also where, you know, you want to use, like, if with semantic matches, a lot of the time they're going to show you in the way that they use their hand gestures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If there's some, like, picture or something that they keep pointing at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one, I think, about the reference experience. I think there's been times where a client's indicated that there was something either when they were young,
mm-hmm.
or something much earlier in a particular relationship, for example.
Yeah.
And like an example, that's a real one, was like the birth of a child and some postnatal depression that occurred then. And in this particular case, the partner was in a support mode. So, you know, he described his way of being of, you know, there was, you know, my role was to support.
Yeah.
So that set up a pattern.
Okay.
Always supporting, which, you know, played out, I suppose, in the topic more about that he was unable to do anything other than to support.
Right.
As if he was losing himself. So, I'm wondering then about, once we acknowledge that here is a reference experience and there actually is something really powerful and beneficial and something to honor in that, that supporting mm-hmm. someone else is really important. And
yes.
And the client is unable to know, how do I begin to change from that? That seems to be the gap, isn't it? What, in this case, I think this is the gap.
Right. Well, and then it is so while that is very powerful in certain contexts, in other contexts, only doing supporting might not be useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what is, and you know, it's, maybe he thinks about it in opposites, like it's either supporting or it's taking care of myself. Maybe he needs to learn to do both, or maybe he needs to contextualize it.
Yeah, I think the either or, yeah, that meta program is at play in this particular case. So
right.
Yeah.
And that's where the analysis part really comes in. Once you know, okay, this is how you're doing it, let's take a look at, because so he has a reference experience that he's using that might hold him back. There's some all or nothing thinking. So those are all things that might need to change. And then it might be that if he only changes one thing, that the other things also change. It might be that you need to work on all of them.
Yeah.
So. So that's a little bit, I think that's a good start for you to start thinking about, oh, hey, this is the structure of, like, in a coaching session, I always have a present state and desired state, and I do that exploration so that I know, okay, what is it that we need to be working on that it flows out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that in terms of, like, you know, exploration analysis, that's great. It's simple and it's elegant at the same time.
Yeah, and it also at the same time, it's not like it's linear. So because it's systemic, like your client can go to present state first and then switch to desired state. So it's a very dynamic process. The way I keep track of it is by having that as a image in my mind. I have all of the elements of the present state, all of the elements of the desired state, and as I'm listening to my client, I'm just noticing, okay, this belongs there, this belongs, you know, with the present state, this is the desired state, is it specific enough? And then I want to replicate it. I want to be able to step inside my own picture and feel what my client is feeling.
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, thinking about my outcome and things like that, because the conversation is very dynamic, it does shift, it does go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that you asked then is a question I have. How do I keep track of it?
Yeah.
So I think that's a core of it for me, certainly, to be able to keep track of that so that I can then be, I can remain in the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where meta detailing comes in. So I have the big picture, mm-hmm. so that I can assess, does this information belong in the big picture or not? And if I don't know, I can ask, how does that relate to the outcome?
Yeah.
Because if you have a client who has optionitis, he's going to come with like one story and so then you want to hold them to accountable to that as well.
Yeah.
So
Femke, when you've noticed meta programs, which might be influencing their present state and then, you know, have an impact on, you know, them achieving their desired state, how do you bring that up in the coaching conversation?
When they have a meta program?
Yeah, a meta program that's at play that's, you know, keeping them stuck in the present state, which is then also, you know, influencing them achieving their desired state. So as you mentioned before, like the all or nothing, you know, like the polar opposites and how do you bring that up in a coaching conversation if you want to bring an awareness, if you feel that that's going to influence, you know, the shift?
Okay. So I often with people who, because like I said, I am lucky that my clients a lot of the time know and understand the idea of meta programs.
Okay.
If not, what I do is those people that I work with that don't have a background in coaching, I give them an overview to take home of cognitive distortions and meta programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I explain that so that, or we do it in the coaching session. So that's a little bit of training that doesn't take very long, but then we can sit together and say, okay, is this what is going on? And then I can also give feedback and be very specific. So I hear you say this. You've said that 4 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and have that, give that as feedback. That sounds like you're personalizing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always keep it tentative because it is ultimately my client's decision, and I have to say that they may not be ready to see that.
Mm-hmm. In terms of keeping track, what Neil was interested in before, do you take notes in your coaching sessions, Femke?
Yeah, I'll take notes. Not always, but the way that I do that is I draw a picture of present state and I draw, or like a circle for present state and a circle for desired state.
Mm-hmm.
And I will write down, okay, this is context, this is the trigger, this is the state that they're in, and it changes over time. But basically that's what I'm doing. Actually next time, because I just ordered a tool that I can use so that when you guys are coaching, I can make notes and then I can do that in real time so that you guys can see it as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, wow.
What is that tool called?
It's called Slate.
Oh, sorry, Mac.
And it basically, what it does is I can write on paper.
Oh, I see.
And while I'm writing on paper, it's showing up on my screen on the computer as well.
Wow, cool.
And so, I'm getting that this week, so I have to practice with it and see how it works, but it basically will allow me to take feedback and on the feedback form, and you can follow as I write my notes.
Mm-hmm.
But also when you're going through a coaching session or when I do a coaching session, I can show the notes that I'm taking and follow that. And the beauty of it is that it records as a video.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So it basically, yeah, shows the entire flow of the process. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And that way you can actually, we can see what's going on in your mind when you do that.
Yes.
And that's something I would love to know more about. Coaches who coach so well. Oh, what are they thinking, listening about right now? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a way I'm hoping to start sharing that.
Hmm.
So any other questions?
I'd be interested to hear what in terms of improving your coaching, you know, like the biggest sort of improvement and change that you've noticed since you sort of started, like, you know, was there one particular strategy or an awareness that had the biggest influence on your effectiveness as a coach, Femke?
I wouldn't say it was one. I think there are several, but I think like a lot of the work I've done has been internal in my inner game. I remember when I started coaching, when I did my NLP, I was really afraid of people who mismatched.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just froze up. Like if I had someone who was mismatching or just like what I would call strong personality, like very opinionated, mm-hmm. I was not able to distinguish like their frames and how it affected me. Mm-hmm. And that made a big difference for me, the ability to just sit in a coaching conversation and leave all my judgments out of it, except for judgments that are strategic and mm-hmm. focus on structure and to have it not be about me. I think that has been a really big one. And also the ability to challenge and to gather enough information and to then look at it, hey, what are some of the inconsistencies, incongruencies that my client is presenting to me, and to then present that to my client and be a bit more playful with it in my confronting and challenging. Mm-hmm. And stretching my meta programs. So being able to do both detail and global, being able to follow a procedure, being able to not only go internal and ask about frames and beliefs and get my client to have all of that, but then also to bring it to the real world and what are you going to do? Because I never liked the tasking part of it. I was like, oh, that's boring. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of like personal work, I think, and stretching my meta programs so that I'm able to have that flexibility and be clean as a coach. And mm-hmm. then beyond that, really a lot of practice, getting a lot of feedback, I think they go ahead.
That's really insightful, thank you. And in terms of changing your inner game, is that mainly through coaching or is that reflective journaling or a bit of both, or
method? I would say both. I've done I think also in coaching sessions, I've done a lot of buddy coaching, mm-hmm. But also like spending a lot of time just reflecting on myself and on my state and, so definitely both, and getting feedback really helps, because then if I get feedback, I would be asking myself why is this not working for me? Why am I not doing this? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
There's a question that comes up that it could be a topic for another session perhaps, but mm-hmm. it's the question around, I suppose, like tasking or practices to set for a client between okay.
sessions. Yeah.
And, you know, that was what Maria's question of you sparked for me when she was trying to, you know, what was it that you did? What was your practice? I think that gets covered, I think, in detail at PCMC level, but I think that would be something that would be really valuable for me to begin to...
To get to tasking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I have to, because my son is crying a lot. I just have to check on him real quick. Mm-hmm. But then I think after that we can go into a practice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll ask Pascal. What has been the biggest influence on your coaching and improving your coaching?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
What has been the biggest influence? Well, you know, over the last year and a half, as I've listened to Femke talk about coaching, I've taken notes, I've drawn diagrams, and I've done some practice. And I think it's not just one thing. It's my matter of learning. So, I use Scrivener, and I have a Scrivener you know, notebook of things that, you know, we've discussed or I've had experience or gotten feedback from. And like, I wanted to learn more about MetaPro, how to use MetaQuestions. So I drew a diagram. You know, a lot of those diagrams are in that, that website, that Facebook website. Or well-formed outcomes. Funnel doesn't send me anywhere. I have to draw my own diagram for the well-formed outcomes so I can, you know, memorize another way of thinking through it. So I think it's translating.
So you're very visual.
Yes. Visual kinesthetic, I would say, mostly. Okay. So I have to move things around and see them. Yes, I'm very visual. So, but also the things that help me is to put into my own framework, to translate it to my own framework and to get feedback on what I'm doing.
Yeah. So considering it's your last session, Pascal, and you know, you've been with Femke, what would be your tips for getting the most out of the mentoring with Femke?
I would say go every time, as long as possible, and practice. Go practice even for free if you want to. Just practice with anyone. Like I do it. Well, it's hard to do it with my wife because she knows when I'm asking her. I can't say what about this. She'll catch me. I would just write down the feedback that you get and try to apply it next time.
Great, thank you.
Well, that's all. I can't think of anything else to say other than just practice.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, put it down in your own words.
Okay.
I wrote an article on coaching, and that helped me to organize it. Because it's in somebody else's words. It's in somebody else's books. If you can put it in your own words, then kind of slight advantage, I helped Michael Hall write a book on systemic coaching before I had the ACMC, so I had a little more insight into coaching before I started.
Michael. Actually, I think I've got that book.
Yeah, that's me. Drawing my diagrams throughout the book.
It's a great book.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I am back.
Okay.
Thanks, Pascal.
So, Pascal messaged me that he has a topic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take about, let's do 15 minutes because then we can discuss it afterwards and wrap up and because usually we go for an hour and a half. So what I would like to do is let's go with the present state and we'll do some co-coaching and I'm thinking of like whether to split it up with details and so Neil, if you want to do like the details, like the get the context and like the details of and clarity questions, and Maria, if you could then ask like what about the meta questions that hold that in place. Sound good?
Sure. Simultaneously, or do you want us to kind of?
How do I say that? Like alternate. So yeah, and it can be an organic process. It doesn't have to be like one question Neil, one question Maria. But if you notice like okay, there's enough information of the details so that I can start asking meta question. What beliefs hold that create the state? Mm-hmm. And, feel free to interrupt each other.
Okay,
sure.
So I'm going to mute myself. If I feel that it's beneficial for you to that I interrupt, then I will do that. And you can always ask me questions as well.
Sounds good.
Perfect. 15 minutes start now.
Okay.
Pascal, thank you for finding a topic to bring in this conversation with Maria and I.
Okay.
So we're both very curious. What is this topic of conversation?
Well, I've been writing a book since September, and I've written about 7,000 words, which is not much for a period of time. But what I've decided just recently, this week, is that the outline I had wasn't working. I mean, I did a prologue, and I'm happy with that, but I want to reorganize the chapters, and I'm having a problem deciding how to do that. And what the issue is not that I don't feel like I can eventually do it. I would like to do it a little faster than I've been doing it. I would like to be able to, you know, spend a couple of days rethinking everything and come back with a new organization of the book so that I can more easily write each piece.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so to be able to faster to do this outline.
Yes.
Yeah, to put the words together so the book is ready for publication.
Mm. All I care about now is doing an outline so that it doesn't matter to me how long it takes me to write the book. It just matters to me how long it takes me to write the outline in order so I can have, so that my desired state would be to each day write a certain amount of words and keep going. And that my outline is good enough to keep me going for months. Several months. I may reorganize it later, but at least I want something to keep me going again for the next few months.
Okay. So the present state is it's linked to doing the outline, getting mm-hmm. the words together for the outline. Mm-hmm. And I heard you speak about wanting to do that faster.
Yes, faster is the point.
Yeah. And a desired state was around having whatever the steps are for you to write like X words per day or something so that you... Am I hearing you about, so you got this sense of progression?
The desired state was to have a sufficient enough outline that it would be easy for me to write. Into that context. And once I have defined a topic, it's more easy for me to write it about that topic. And I feel like the topics are not as defined as I want them to be. I have lots of ideas, and I have lots of diagrams, and I have lots of sketches, and they're not coming cohesively into something.
Okay, yes.
So what prevents you from writing it faster right now?
I realized that I had too many things to talk about, and I couldn't fit them together. Like, kinesthetically, I want to fit them together in a piece that makes sense. I couldn't fit them together in pieces that make sense. On one hand, I want to tell stories. It's not a how-to book, but I want to tell stories about my life and how it relates to this topic, and I want to get some insights ahead of this topic. And I was having trouble thinking about what coaching pieces to put together as to do this. So I'm having trouble piecing it together. Does that make sense?
And the state that you feel when you're having trouble putting those pieces together, there's too many things that you can't put them all together. What state is it that is created in those times?
A little frustration and also patience. I'm thinking, well, okay, I thought I need to stop where I'm doing now and reevaluate, look at the whole thing. And one thing I thought of, I saw yesterday when I was looking for Amazon, it's about this book that talked about take what you have and do a reverse outline. In other words, detail, one word for each set paragraph or something to see what have you written so far? What is the current outline? And to see, what you've done and then how would that be? Like she suggested doing it at the end of the book, but I thought it would be useful to do before I went any further. What exactly have I done? And then as a way of learning about where I want to go. So it's both the detail part, what have I done in detail, and then the big picture part, this is where I want to go. I want to talk about these things, and how do I all fit together? So that's so my the problem is, that was my tomorrow's task, is to begin on that process. So, it's not an analytical task completely. It's more, sometimes you walk around and think about it. Sometimes you sit and do it. So but I'd like to be able to have a way of doing it a little faster.
So your current state, Pascal, of the frustration, what is it? So you talked about the outline. You want to be, you know, to be able to see the details and see the bigger picture. So when you're feeling frustrated, what's the trigger for you actually feeling frustrated?
The looking at how many words I keep track of how well I do, and just looking at the progress, and realizing that I'm not making much progress. I'm doing other things, and I would like to make more progress. So it's the frustration comes from the progress, and it's just not something that lasts a long time. It just says, okay, something different, and then it's the next step, which is how what can I do that's different that enables me to do this?
Okay. How do you know you're not making progress? You mentioned the number of words. Is it how do you know that the number of words is not progress enough for you?
Because I initially thought I wanted to write 85,000 words in 9 months, and I keep track of how many words I've written so far, and I fall behind that limit. So I started again, and I said, well, I can see that how many words I've written each week, and it's way below the limit I would need to write that much.
Okay. Something I'm curious about, Pascal, is that I know that you've written books together with other people before. So is this a book that you are writing just with you only? Who else? Yes. Is there anyone else involved in this with you?
It's much easier to write with other people. I've written 2 articles by myself, but it's much easier to work on projects for me with other people. This is a personal book, a sort of a memoir essay book.
Okay.
Hard to write with someone else.
So it's just you doing the writing for this. Mm-hmm. It's just you who's doing the outline for the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So have you thought about, I suppose, the time frame for this? So when is it that you'd like this outline to be complete? Is there a time frame in your mind around this?
Yeah, I'd like it to be completed within a week.
Within 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment.
Okay.
So, Neil and Maria, what are some of the states, like, presently that Pascal's talking about? Because there are several.
What he mentioned before was the frustration. One of his desired states I heard was he wants patience.
Mm-hmm. If you think about the structure of what is going on,
some of the meta programs that we could hear, mm-hmm, were like, you know, the options procedures. So Pascal was talking about, you know, there's lots of options available to him here.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly around, you know, I've got lots of ideas around this topic. How do I weave them together to get some coherence? I'm not too sure what coherence is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were questions of, you know, the detail and the big picture. So what amount of big picture do I need to be able, and what level of detail do I need? So that links to, I suppose, the question of getting coherence so that the outline is sufficient to do the detailed writing.
Right.
And then question of, I suppose, the time about being able to do this faster as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is what I'm hearing is that, that Pascal, one of the states or one of the things that he's experiencing is that he's not writing as fast as he wants.
Yes.
It's not, the writing isn't flowing. That's like, those are my words, but the writing isn't flowing as he would like. And his solution and what he has realized is that the outline is not right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then what I'm hearing beyond that is that he would like to write faster, like to write more, to make more progress.
Yes.
right? So, and one of the things that I'm hearing is that a different outline would be nice.
Yes.
That might be the solution. It might also not be the solution. Because remember that with our clients, a lot of the time they come up with solutions to their problem from their problematic way of thinking. I'm not saying that that's the case here, but that is something to keep in mind in the back of your mind. So I want, that's why we do the exploration, is I want to, know, okay, so tell me about this progress. How does that work? So you're sitting down. How do you know that the outline is not right? What tells you that it's not right right now? And then also, like, a really key thing is that he says, I want to do the outline faster. Faster than what? Like, so I don't know what specifically he means by that. But and that's like kind of like the detective part is also, so right now he wants to have an outline faster and get the outline so that it's easier to write. So he's telling you a lot about his desired state. It's not easy to write right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm listening for that so that I can, I also want to kind of figure out, hey, is the outline, is that what is really stopping him? There might be something else. It may be that there are too many options, or, you know, and when he talks about outline, what specifically does he mean by that? He doesn't know how all the pieces fit together. Is that what he means with outline? Like, if he knew how all the pieces fit together, it would be easier to write. Getting all of that detailed information and all the kind of pieces of it.
You make it sound so easy, Femke. Like, it's, when you say this, it's like, yes, that sounds so logical.
And that's practice too. And I have to say, I visualize it. I'm listening for, like, okay, what is the structure here?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Pascal, with hearing that, what are some of the awarenesses that come up for you?
Well, one thing is that it's true that I do, I'm very action-oriented, and I absolutely use procedures to cut those down. Mm-hmm. Writing an outline is like having a procedure in the background. Faster than what? I don't know. That's a good question. And it's probably not, it's not, that's, I can't answer that. And I think it really is about just doing it, you know, getting it, you know, just spending a short time, you know, a week or two, and just doing it and then moving on. So the that faster than what really means I just want to move on with it. You know, I want to do it and move on with it.
Okay. Are you able to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what would you need out of coaching conversation?
How do you know? Yeah, mine's not right. I was writing down what you were saying. I guess I wanted to understand what I'm not seeing. You know, like you were saying, that maybe it is not just the outline. And, you know, I wrote down it might be the solution or not. And It's really about so the realization was, it's really about a way of putting a boundary around what I'm doing. Okay. And what is that boundary? And then how is it organized into what, like, what atoms are inside, or what, well, ten or fewer chunks are in there that I can work on? And I have all these pieces. You know, from all these diagrams I have, and I'm just trying to, so what I'm trying to do is integrate. So my issue is, how can I better integrate what I have into something that seems reasonable to me?
Okay.
If any of that makes any sense, it does help talking about it.
So I'm hearing that you have a lot of pieces, mm-hmm. and you want to put a boundary around those pieces so that you know these pieces are within it and that's what you're going to be writing about.
Yes, and I don't have a boundary yet. That's the issue.
Okay.
I can forever write about this topic, and I need a boundary. So that is probably a bigger frame than an outline.
Okay.
And then a boundary, that's the first step. And then within that boundary, what's in, what's out? You know, what's in, what's out, and how is it, what's in organized? And I'm sort of getting an idea of talking about it, but that's basically.
Right. And so right now, what I'm hearing is that you're having troubles progressing with your writing.
Is that's because of
all of the pieces?
Yeah, that's right. So what I did was when I decided I wanted to do an outline was I rethought some of the basic pieces.
Okay.
Some of the foundations. It's about modeling. So what's modeling? What's a model? What's all these what factors into it? So I did all these, thought all the diagrams, reorganized things. But that's not going to solve the problem. It's only going to tell me more about what's in it. It's not telling me more about the boundary, which is,
right.
I really have to say, in my modal operator necessity, what's in it and what's out of it.
Okay. And is that the challenge that you have?
The challenge. And I realized that I could just say, let's tentatively say this is in it and go with that. I realized, and that's what I may do. I may make a caveat. Here is something it could be, which I think is a good idea, and bound it, and then write it, and then decide later if I want to add more or subtract more. You know what I mean? It's not. It all has to be done at one time. And that's maybe I had a belief like that also.
Okay.
It has to be done at one time and it can't be revised later.
Right.
This is like company reorganizing.
And what I'm like, so Neil and Maria, what I'm curious about right now is how all of that, all of what Pascal mentioned with having a lot of pieces. Mm-hmm. And not having a boundary, how does that relate to not making progress in writing? Mm-hmm. Because in a way, okay, and this is just because I don't understand his present state enough yet, but yes. I'm thinking, wow, if you have so many pieces, there's lots to write.
One thing that came up for me is, Pascal, you said that it's not about the boundaries, but it's about what's in it and what's out of it. Mm-hmm. And to me, that sounds a contradiction.
Mm-hmm. It's not about the boundary. It's not about the outline. It's about not about the boundaries. It is about the boundary. It is about the boundary and integrating material so that I can decide what's in it and outside it.
Yeah.
I said that I misspoke. Or my subconscious is speaking differently.
It is about the boundaries. It is and the boundaries was this higher frame.
The higher frame is the big picture. Temperament the
big picture.
I have details, but the boundary is really my big picture that that I need.
Yeah. The boundary is the big picture. Yeah.
Mm. Boundary is what's in the big picture.
Yes.
So it's like the bigger chunks of things. And defining them,
the bigger chunks.
Yeah. So I like to do things like all my projects are one page. I like to have one page that describes everything. In a diagram or my projects or this outline. You know, one page should the bigger piece of it should be in one page. It's like a table of contents, like a picture of one.
And do you have that one page right now?
No, I'm redoing that one page right now in my mind. I have a new mind map that I called Outline Version 2. and I'm thinking about it and I decided I can't just look at this mind map to go off, and maybe get a big board or something. So this is my thinking these last few days. I should have this big board and I can put things on it, move things around. So it's not So it's not just sitting at my desk, which might not be good to have the same place all the time that you're having problems. You have to move around. That's what I think about.
So Pascal, if you have boundaries, mm-hmm. are you, because is my understanding mm-hmm. is that what you would want is to make more progress in your writing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And so having those boundaries, imagine having those boundaries mm-hmm. and having it on one piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Does that allow you to make more progress?
I think so. Because I now know what the topics are and how they all fit together. At least a running thread through the whole book. I mean, I can have a chapter and I can say how this fits together if I had those. Mm-hmm. Like writing a paper. You know, I've written several papers this year and it was a smaller piece. But this is a larger, more complex piece of work. And so for me, having that would help. Because then I would look at it and I say, okay, I'm here today. Or I could jump to here and that's this chapter or this piece. And this relates to that, so I'll say something. No, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay.
It needs to be a little more refined.
So it sounds like then within the boundaries, if you have that those boundaries, that you're able to still have the option of which piece to work on.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So then Maria, Neil, then it is a case of like, okay, what specifically is a boundary? What does that look like?
Yes.
What does he believe about boundaries right now? And starting to gather that information.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A question that was coming up for me as I was listening to Pascal as well was around, you know, what are Pascal's criteria for the boundary? So, you know, mm-hmm. what are the criteria for this is in and this is not in?
Right. Yeah.
You know, what is in this one piece of paper that gives you the clarity to be able to have, you know, the direction for the progress you're after?
Yep.
So the criteria set you use.
Well, exactly. And that's eventually going to be the test. Like of, you know, if you have that piece of paper, what state does having that piece of paper do you need to be in for it to allow you to write faster or make more progress?
Well, actually, the thing that I realized was that it's not just, it's actually defining the criteria first.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's clear in my mind, so completely clear. So actually spending time thinking about the criteria might be more productive.
Exactly, yeah.
Which that was a good point.
So is that what we need to be working on now, Pascal?
Yeah, well, I would say that would be the next thing to work on. Yeah, what's the next thing?
Okay, so so what from this exercise, mm-hmm. what, Maria, what is your takeaway?
Well, I haven't been coaching for a while, so it's just good to just keep a reminder to kind of you stay meta. And I really liked the whole outline about just being clear on the present state, the context of the present state, the trigger, and then the context and the trigger and the desired state. So just kind of having that meta picture and you know that structure in my head about yeah. Where everything fits in.
Nice. How about you, Neil?
Well, what I did was I think I've sketched a little half sheet of paper that I could use to capture the really critical things I hear. So I wrote down state, open bracket, and then I add things in there. So I had state, open bracket, not writing fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Flowing, your words for that. Then, you know, I wrote down strategy, in brackets, progress, whatever, to explore progress. And I wrote down clarity. Now, what do I need to get clarity on? I wrote down outline, faster, boundary. I wrote down criteria, brackets, in, out.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down explore. What do I need to explore? You know, is it just an outline? And then, you know, what is it I'm not seeing, which is what Pascal mentioned as well. And then I had another one that said meta programs. And then there was the, you know, the necessity possibility meta program, the detail, the picture, the options, procedures, things like that. So that was a little structure to listen for structure and capture structure.
Yeah, I like it. Well, maybe you can take a picture of it and share it with the group.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
You did pick out the meta programs that are relevant, though, I thought.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing, Pascal.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So for today, we will wrap up. We usually go an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I am going to put the recording online. So if you log in on the right hand side, you'll see recordings, KACC recordings, and you can click on that and listen back to it. 2 weeks from now, we are going to meet at the same time with the same link. And we say goodbye to Pascal today.
Yes.
So,
thank you, Pascal.
Pascal, it has been a joy having you on the calls. I love your curiosity and your way of thinking. So to wrap up, Pascal, if you could do like one more coaching session and send that to me, and then we'll do a final benchmarking.
Okay.
And so for Maria, for you, you can send me your coaching session as well. And if you need someone to coach, then just let me know. And I will hook you up with someone. If I haven't already, did I do that?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I may ask that also, hook me up with someone too.
Okay. Yep.
Think about it first.
No problem. I always have people who need to be coached.
Okay, great. I will let you know.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you. Let me know if there's any questions in the meantime about a module or anything. And we'll have you on the call 2 weeks from now.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.